1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
You know, rock and roll promoters, music promoters, it's been my experience, and you can take this for what it's worth. I was a disc jockey from 1973 until 1988. I played rock and roll radio. I was on what were called album rock stations for 15 years. And during that time, I encountered many a promoter. And I will tell you this, while I met many that were fine individuals, my overall impression of people that promote music is not a good one. It's not a good one for a lot of reasons, but I will go back to my own personal experience as a rock fan. I grew up in the Los Angeles area, and this was in the late 1960s when I was in the high school period of my life, and there was only really one place to go and watch rock and roll in those days, and that was, there were a couple of places, but in my neighborhood, which was Pasadena, there was a place called the Rose Palace. And the Rose Palace is called that because that was a building designed to house Rose Bowl floats, Rose Parade floats. That's where they build the floats. Well, they're only building floats a few months out of the year, so for the rest of the year, it's empty. And so what do you do with a big empty building? You rent it out to a promoter. And I saw Led Zeppelin there, and I saw Grateful Dead there, and I saw Things to Come, and the Steve Miller Band, and Jethro Tull, and I saw every major act that came into this town in the Rose Palace, a big barn of a building out there in Pasadena. I think it was on Raymond. Designed to hold 2,000 people on a Friday or Saturday night, they'd pack 7,000 kids into this place. Back in the day, it was like $2. You get three or four bands. The air, thick with the smoke of cannabis. I saw Iron Butterfly there. And that's, I'm the only person to actually make that statement and have people go, who? And this was before they did Inagata Davida. I saw it all, and through it all, I was in some of the ugliest, sweatiest, nastiest, filthiest places you have ever. You wouldn't want to bring your worst enemy into these places. You wouldn't bring Saddam Hussein in there on a day trip. The Olympic Auditorium in downtown Los Angeles, another hot sweat box of a toilet, which is where closed that dump back in 1980. Now, I realized the Olympic had its great moments back in the day in the 40s and 50s. It was a place, you know, a lot of boxing, great wrestling, etc. But by the time I got there, it was a big, sweaty pit. Again, a promoter rents it out. Now, I don't care what anybody says. And you may have your experience, and you're entitled to your opinion. This is my opinion. People that promote music, especially music designed to target kids, they couldn't care less whether your kid comes running out of the building on fire, dead, unconscious, OD'd. What do they care? Get the bodies in, get the money out of them, and let's move on to the next town. The only thing they care, they don't want to get sued. They don't want to get sued. So they'll naturally take whatever you know, moderate steps one needs to take to not get sued. But when it comes to music that targets our young people, some things never change, baby. Just year in and year out and year in and year out. Now, I understand what happened in Rhode Island. Basically, it was an audience of 30 and 40-something people because the band was a, you know, sort of an, I guess Great White by now is a nostalgia act. But the fact of the matter is, rock and roll represents one thing, music for kids, and that means, you know, bare minimum in terms of safety, bare minimum in terms of comfort, bare minimum in terms of everything except the price. Then that's the bare maximum. Who cares if there's no place to take a leak? Who cares if there's no place to sit down? Who cares if there's no place to get something to eat? And I'm going to tell you right now, we put up with it year in and year out. Every generation of music fan in this country has put up with it. From the toilet bowls, you know, the Legion Stadium down in El Monte back in the day, and then on to the Shrine Auditorium, and then on to the Rose Palace, and then finally the bands got so big and the music got so popular, then they're sticking it in big arenas like the Forum or out at the, or the Anaheim Convention Center. Or Fillmore West, or Fillmore East, or wherever. But even then, nobody really takes the time to, is it safe? I mean, or what about crowd control, etc.? You know what happened in 79 at, where was it, Riverfront with the Who? They got doors locked. They've got doors locked. There's one door for thousands of kids to get out. These guys ought to be taken out and shot. And I've dealt with them personally. I'll tell you something right now. I don't want to mention any names. When I was in Orlando, Florida, I worked in Orlando. It was my first gig in radio. I was a rock and roll jock at an AOR station. Every week, we had to deal with this promoter down there. A real piece of crap. I mean a real walking turd. This guy, let me hear the commercial one more time. This and that and everything. I want to have, no. It's got to be this way. Got to be that way. He didn't give a crap who was comfortable, who wasn't. Who was getting ripped off, as long as he wasn't getting ripped off. Now you got this situation in Rhode Island, and people are stunned. This has been going on for years. It's amazing it hasn't happened before to the extent that it did in Rhode Island this past weekend. I mean, we're talking about thousands of people, thousands of lives, being compromised because of these tight, cheap, creep promoters. Bums. I mean real bums. Now, like I said, I'm sure there's a few that are, you know, cool. They're good guys, and they care. I never met a one that didn't care about anything other than squeezing a buck as tight as he could. Now, that's just my experience. Am I giving him a bad rap? Well, I'm just so very sorry. Now, this club in Rhode Island, this takes the cake, man. This is the end. This is the living end. Now, I heard a guy say, because I'm going to tell you something right now, my kid was in that club, I'd pick up a gun. If my kid had been in that club, I'd pick a gun up. Now, I heard a couple of bands from the Boston area over the weekend say the following thing. We use pyro. There's no cop or fire marshal there to stop us. There's a law, but nobody enforces it. Every band back there uses the stuff. For as far as I know, every band out here does. And I'll tell you something else, and I know I'm probably going to bother my very dear friend Craig Taylor, who sits in front of me, who loves to go to raves. But you're going to see the same thing happen at a rave one of these nights. One of these barns or one of these warehouses or one of these clubs where these guys open up these things, and who knows, you know, whether they got license for this, that, or something else. You're going to get just enough kids in there one night with just a few enough exits, and somebody's going to die there, too. Because why not? It's just a bunch of kids. Who cares about their safety? Who cares about that? Just get the money, stick it in your pocket, and run out of there. Half of these cats leave the site a third of the way through the show. They're done. I got my money. I'm done, man. Give me the strong box. I'm gone. Who's that? And that he leaves it to a handful of security guys. And then there's like, hey, man, you can do whatever you want when you're 18 or plus. I don't care. Go ahead and die on the sidewalk. But my kids are under 18. If I find out that my underage sons or daughter is in a joint and they're doing balloons or whatever the hell it is that they're doing and somebody's dying there, I'm going to tell you right now, if we got laws that say you're not supposed to have pyro in some crap can of a bar, then you're not supposed to have it. If there's a fire marshal back there, then enforce the law. You know what? I tell you, this story didn't bother me at all until I suddenly realized what's behind it. Until I suddenly realized what was behind it. And then I recognized immediately what I've been living with for 30 years of my career. Now, I've been in talk radio for 12 years. Fortunately, I have been away from the music scene for that amount of time. But nothing's changed. And when I heard these two club owners talking about, no, it's the band. Let me tell you something, Charlie. Sooner or later, they're going to catch up with you. You might as well stand up like a man and take the fall now, because sooner or later, somebody's going to catch up with you. And if the band needs to know the law, then the club needs to know the law. And if the law says no pyro unless you have a pyro specialist and unless the place is, you know, fireproofed, etc., you got to follow the law. Otherwise, you broke the law. You're going to prison. And I don't know how many people died, because I don't keep those kind of statistics. What, 65? How many? 97 people dead. Because all you can do is count the money in a strong box. Makes me want to just... take a sip of my tea, which is what I just did. There, do I sound angry enough here, just kicking off a Monday? Am I? Okay, good. Is it really passionate? Good. We want passion in our talk radio. We must
have the passion.
I don't expect any phone... I don't want any phone calls. There's no need for any phone calls. I'm telling you how it is based upon my 15 years as a disc jockey and hanging around the stench of these promoters. Now, I don't care if it's a promoter or a club owner. It's going to happen again, too. Don't worry about it. It'll happen again. They just, a bunch of kids died in Chicago the other night after they told that slob to close that club, didn't they? The guy kept it open. Now we got dead people. You know, and nine times out of ten, it's a kid. It's a kid. Because who cares about them? Nobody cares about them. They're just a bunch of kids who want to go listen to some music, and if they die, well, you know. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Who are these guys in Rhode Island? What are the names? Some fruitball name I can't even pronounce. These two guys that own that club, those two guys ought to go to jail. That's my personal opinion. Jail. I don't give a crap if the guy was crying the crocodile tears there on Saturday, reading a statement from the family or anything else. Jail. Then the next guy that goes to jail is the fire marshal that was supposed to ensure that the law was enforced, to make sure that the law calling for a pyro expert, calling for, you know, all these things, he goes to jail. What do you think about that? How about taking a fireman and sticking his ass in jail, too? You like that? What are these guys? Jeffrey Derderian and his brother Michael Derderian. See you later. Nice knowing you. Then the next guy that goes inside, maybe somebody in that band, for all I know. I don't know. You know, I didn't even care about this story. I mean, I did. I mean, it was a sad thing. I didn't care about it until Janice mentioned to me something today. Something triggered me. And I said, well, you're talking about you're talking about a music promote. And all of a sudden, all the venom that I had been saving inside of me for years about music promoters started oozing out. And that whole pitch, hey, man, you know what? It's about the music. No, really, really, it's about the music. All the rest of us is, you know. Is it really about the music? Okay, well, somebody's making off of the jack here. It's about the music. Look at this. If I see this video one more time. Did you notice how when the fire started, did you look and see the band on stage? They just sort of slowly were creeping off the stage. Now there's people pointing for the door. Get out. Let's get out of here. Come on, somebody open the door. Let's get out of here. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Hey, we're going to be at the HBO Comedy Arts Festival in a week. No, not in a week. This week. In 2 days, we'll be at the HBO Comedy Arts Festival, and we're going to be performing live on stage on the 27th of the 28th in the Aspen Room of the St. Regis Hotel. And just to give you an idea how that's different from most of your run-of-the-mill radio station remotes, we're not going to be sitting in a bar someplace interviewing the comics. We are part of the show. So while some radio stations may be in the lounge interviewing the comics or with a microphone standing on the street, we're going to be on stage performing our show as part of the overall entertainment that will be featured at the HBO Comedy Arts Festival. So on Thursday and Friday, we'll be doing an hour from Aspen, and we hope you join us. If you're in the area, come on by and say hello. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Hey, let me tell you, I ain't gonna sit here and argue about this like they're doing on television with all of these jackballs who all they need to do is cram fill up another hour worth of talking head time. They got three guys sitting around a desk. Now, on to the Rhode Island fire. Belly, what do you think? I think it was wrong. Well, I think it was right. Well, are you kidding? Oh, come on. Stop it. It's nothing to argue about. It's the promoter's fault. The guy that promotes the gig. You guys that are promoting these rock and roll shows, get this into your big, fat, thick heads. You guys are responsible for more than just collecting money. Why don't you make sure that the place is safe? Why don't you make sure the patrons that come to these shows that you promote are safe and enjoying themselves instead of being treated like garbage by some fat slob of a bouncer at the door, some fat slob of a bouncer inside the club, some rude pig taking the money at the door, some jackass working the bar, some stupid bimbo walking from table to table taking drink orders, can't remember to give you your card back. Yeah, am I sounding a little harsh? That's too bad. It's not 90 people dead. I ain't blaming a dumb bimbo that takes the orders, and I ain't even blaming a big, fat, sweaty jackass who works the bar. I am blaming the guy that hires them. You know, we got to take enough abuse when we walk into your club. We have to take enough abuse from you, the people that you hire, the lousy atmosphere. You know, we come in there to listen to some music. And now we're in a fire trap. Now we're sitting there in your tinderbox fire trap club. We're paying $5 for your watered-down beer. And it's a cup about yay big, 6 ounces. We're paying $8 for your Patron shots. Every time I ask for a shot of Don Julio, I get the big dumb stare like, well, what is that? It's good tequila, that's what it is. But I guess you guys wouldn't know anything about that in here. Go ahead, give me your Patron. I guess you gringos think that stuff is hot stuff. What'll it be?
Oh, yes, sir, $15 for a shot.
Oh, that's just marvelous. We got your dumbass waitress who can't remember to give the credit card back. We got your slobs that you hire that stand at the door and treat you like a piece of meat. You know, and through it all we want to do is go in and we listen to the music and dance. And so we'll put up with a lot. Now these guys kill 97 people. Let me tell you what, Mr. Club Owner, ain't anybody's fault but yours. You own the club. You're going down. You. Don't forget the band. Forget about whether it's the band's fault. Look, these guys have been using this stuff for a long time. Either they're allowed to or they're not. There's a law in place, isn't there? Can I ask a question, or am I completely off the subject here? If I own a club, do you think I should be aware of the fire laws? Oh, you think I should? Well, look at that. How about that? That's a real shock. And if I'm not on the premises, do I have somebody managing the club for me? Yes. Do you suppose maybe he should be aware what the fire laws are? Or are we all just brain dead here? We just came out of the rocket science club, and, it's time for a bologna sandwich. We just don't get it. Guy gets up on stage, says, well, I got some pyro here. Hey, have at it, baby. You know what? I didn't know it was against the law. It's a band from California, for crying out loud. What the hell do they know the law in Rhode Island is? By the way, if you're using pyro, here is something for the band. If you're using pyro in your act, maybe a fire extinguisher is a good idea. I could be wrong. A garden hose, a squirt bottle, a squirt gun, something. Do you suppose you'd keep that in the kit? Well, drum kit, guitars, amps, extension cords, pyro, fire, matches, fire extinguisher. That'd be a real smart thing. The other thing that might be, I realize this is asking a little too much, but maybe you guys could find it in the budget. Cut into your profits, but a fire extinguisher for the club. How about sprinklers? I realize the place was too small for sprinklers, but 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, we have a very rare interview with Siamese twins, 25 years of age. We'll be talking with them about their lives, since Siamese twins have been in the news quite a bit lately, about their lives and about their loves. Coming up on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Extremism. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Welcome now to Community Focus. Today on Community Focus, we have as our special guests Frank and Al Cordover. They are Siamese twins. They are both 28 years of age. Frank and Al have been joined basically at the waist. You, and let me get the gentleman on the air right now. Is this Frank or Al?
So this is Frank.
And I'm Al.
Okay, I want to ask you, Frank, where are you guys joined?
Essentially, Phil, we share the same lower body.
We have the same lower body.
And that means that our upper bodies are separate.
So if I'm reading this correctly, you basically, the upper torsos with both, you have two arms and your brother Al does?
That is correct.
That's correct.
Do you have the same, but you have two legs?
We are sharing the same lower body, that is correct.
That's correct.
All right, here is my question. I read, and the reason why we had you on, Frank, you are suing your brother.
I am suing my brother, and the reason is I can't take it any longer. I don't mind being a Siamese twin.
Well, that's not true, because you've always complained about it.
No, I've not complained about it.
One at a time, please, gentlemen.
Well, let me say it. I've not complained about it. What I complain about is his orientation sexually as opposed to mine. That's what I complain about. I've never resented being your brother or being a Siamese twin.
Well, that's a load of crap.
That's not a load of crap.
All right, gentlemen, hold on for a minute. This is the... You're suing your brother. Why?
I'm suing my brother because he's gay.
Al?
Yes, sir.
What do you think of this?
Well, I think it's a violation of my civil rights. I'm a gay man. I enjoy my orientation. I'm out and I'm proud.
Okay, and what are you suing for, Frank? Because he's gay or...
No, because it's an infringement on my lifestyle. Now, let me explain to you one thing. We're Siamese twins.
Yeah.
Okay, and you heard me when I said we share the same lower body.
Okay.
Jesus, this guy's...
Well, I'm sorry, what is to get?
What's to get? He's gay. And he catches.
Oh,
now he gets it.
Now you get it?
So I got to sit there on a Friday night in a gay bar, and I'm straight.
Yeah.
My brother picks up somebody. We come home. We're bent over a coffee table, and I've got to chew on a towel.
Well, that's bad. Al, couldn't you have a little, you know, I mean...
What am I supposed to infringe on my life because of him?
Well, I mean, he's got to endure this.
I told him just to read it, you know, get a good book.
Get a good book.
Well, that is rough.
So I'm suing him. I don't want him to be gay anymore.
Well, you can't sue a guy for being gay. He's going to be gay, and you're straight.
That's right.
Well, what about when you're having sex?
When I'm having sex, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, but I can't stand it.
Okay, so what do you do, Al, since you're gay?
Well, I try to take my mind off of it. I put headphones on and listen to music, mostly. But, you know, it's horrific.
It's not as horrific as what I got to put up with. I got to bend over and grease up. What are you talking about?
Well,
I'm not sure.
Sir, you understand we share the same ass. This is what I'm trying...
I get it already. I get it.
This is what I'm saying.
Oh, quit making a federal case out of it.
I'm not making a federal case out of it. Like right now, we're in Kmart, okay? And we're walking around and we're looking for a terry cloth robe because he's into that. All I want is a down jacket. I'm going hunting next week.
Well, listen, I hope you guys can figure this out.
Plus, I can't sit down, and yet I can sit down. See what I'm saying? Because it was a pretty rough night the other night.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, it's tough for us to sit down. Not me. Well, it is for me.
Well, it's your problem.
My problem? It's your problem, too. It's the same ass. Don't you understand?
All right, gentlemen, I hope you work this problem out. It's been nice talking to you here on Siamese Twins Can Be Fun.
Oh, that's the name of it, huh?
Yeah, I thought it was...
I thought it was something else, too.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. And again, my condolences on the fact that you share the same ass.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, that's kooky. All right, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back on the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, the further adventures of George Clooney find him in Germany today. George Clooney was on German television. And, of course, the first thing you want to do when you are a German television station and an American celebrity comes to town, you want to get him on the air and ask him his opinion about life, politics, what's going on, how things should work. Were he the king of the world? Were George Clooney running things? How should it be? Well, Clooney said in an interview that, and also with a few European newspapers, as you know, he's accused Bush of warmongering. He said, quote, "You can't beat your enemy anymore through wars. Instead, you create an entire generation of people revenge-seeking," Clooney said in the ARD television program Beckman. What is that? That's the name of the host? Or was it a comedy? I don't know. Beckman. He was on a TV show and he suddenly just launched into this speech in the middle of what is it, like Becker? Is it the German version of it? So then he said, "These days it only matters who's in charge. Right now that's us. For a while at least, our opponents are going to resort to car bombs and suicide attacks because they have no other way to win." Do you realize that when these cats say what they say and nobody questions it, then they can sound stupid, but since there's nobody there to ask them a really good question, they just go on sounding stupid? Like, where do you start with an idiot like this? Where do you begin with an idiot like George Clooney? Hey, by the way, Three Kings, really good movie about going to war with Iraq, George, but I guess that's just entertainment, right? When are you going to start this art thing you were talking about? Aren't you a director and you're going to do some art? That's what I hear, you're an artist. Get a little art going, baby. Because the only movie anybody ever saw you in that they liked was Three Kings, and oh yeah, Dusk Till Dawn was pretty good, and the rest of it sucks. Ocean's 11, Blue, and the one with Jennifer Lopez wasn't bad, and what else? Batman was utter crap. Utter. Batman and Robin? If you guys would have just come out and declared your homosexual love for each other, it would have been a little twist-a-rooty. You can't beat your enemy anymore through war. Really? Well, who says you can't beat your enemy anymore through wars? We drove Hussein out of Kuwait back in 91. Or maybe that's my imagination. Which, by the way, I saw something great on television on Friday. It's a guy with a website. I don't know if you've seen this. I forget the name of the website. But he asked the best question of all. He went into an anti-war protest, and all of these people were saying the usual predictable thing about this being a war for oil. At which point the guy asked, "Really? Well, if we wanted the oil, why didn't we take it in 91? Stopped every one of them cold in their tracks. They didn't have an answer. That'd be great. We ought to give a prize out to anybody today on our show who's got a good answer for that question. If this war is about oil, then why didn't we take the oil back in 91 when we were sitting there with tanks, soldiers, planes, guns, and a defeated enemy? Why didn't we go in and take Iraq's oil fields there?" I've got a free Phil Hendry Show CD for anybody that can give me a good answer to that question and not sound, in other words, like George Clooney. And I've got two CDs for George Clooney if he calls in and gives me a good answer. And a shirt. A Phil Hendry Show t-shirt. So then Clooney goes on to say, "I believe he thinks," meaning President Bush, "this war can be won, but there is no such thing anymore." Oh, I see, George. There's no such thing as winning wars anymore. I get you. All right. I don't know where you draw that conclusion. You know, a war is a temporary sort of halting of a hostility or a halting of an unacceptable situation. It doesn't mean that war ends all war forever, Georgie Poo. Okay? He says we can't beat anyone anymore. Well, if you're saying that you can't beat somebody and have them like you, well, you're probably right. Although we did a pretty good job with Germany, and the Japanese don't seem to have such a hard time with us anymore. But I guess it's all different. Is that what you're saying? Because we're kicking ass on some people down there in the Middle East, and because we're going to piss them off, then we better not go and do it. Then we better not go and kick anybody's ass because we're afraid of them, that they may use suicide bombings and car bombs and things like that. Well, we're a civilized people, so we go after them the way that civilized people do. We do it with soldiers who are in uniform, and we attack militants. We attack those who are armed. We don't butcher up civilians. But hey, I'm speaking the obvious here, stupid. "America's policies frustrate me," said Clooney. Did we already take our break? Okay. "America's policies frustrate me. I think a war against Iraq is as unavoidable as it is senseless." Senseless? senseless. Didn't you hear what the guy said? We're going after anybody that is a terrorist or sponsors terrorism. Well, what were you doing that day, man? Were you filming Three Kings 4? What were you doing? I think it's coming, but I also think the real danger is going to be what happens after it. I'm going to tell you something right now. Nothing's going to happen after it. There's going to be a lot of people threatening us. There's going to be a lot of ragheads down there that are going to say we're going to, you know, you'll be sorry now, America, where the blood will flow in the streets. All those cats know how to do is talk. They got lucky with that World Trade Center attack. 20 nuts came out of that Al-Qaeda camp and murdered 3,000 people. Okay, but those guys couldn't get a consensus on whether they have to go to the bathroom. You go after them. You kill them. And you keep killing them till they don't want to kill you anymore. You don't. What do you think we're going to do? Sit down and talk to these guys? And Hussein is a proven sponsor of terror. Proven. He's given money to people to go in and blow themselves up in supermarkets. Is that enough proof for you, or you need more? Send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, Clooney. I'll send you a Phil Henry Show t-shirt and a vial of my own. 1-800-449-8686. Do you do stool samples, George? 1-800-449-8686. Here's Zach. Zach, hello.
Hey, Phil. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
How you doing, man?
Yeah, pretty good. I got an answer to you on why Bush didn't take the oil in 91.
Go ahead, man.
It's the same reason why he didn't get Hussein. Bush was too much of a pussy to march your troops in.
Okay. Let me tell you this. There was a U.N. mandate that did not allow the United States to go beyond the border of Kuwait. The mandate was to free Kuwait. It was not to kick Hussein out of Baghdad. If President Bush had ordered the troops into Baghdad, he'd be going against the U.N. resolution.
All right.
Now, if he's such a warmonger and he's so full of hatred and he wants all of that oil for himself, he could have told the U.N. to cram it up their ass sideways and gone in and taken the oil. Why didn't he? We don't have an answer to that question. Thank you. Let's move on. Sean, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil, how are you doing?
Good, man.
Well, I heard I agree with you about the resolution that you said before to the previous caller, but I heard that the reason why that the U.S. could not go in there was because the Saudi Arabian king told Bush that since Saddam Hussein was a fellow Arab brother, that he would not allow that to happen.
Wait a minute. So something's changed in 10 years? Now the Saudis are going to allow it to happen? If anything, the Saudis are more against this war than they were the Kuwaiti war.
Yeah, it's kind of like a two-edged sword.
No.
Damned if we do, damned if we don't. That's the way that I look at it.
Well, here's the thing. Bush doesn't want the oil. Bush wants what he says he wants. He wants to take Saddam Hussein out. I don't want the oil. Most right-thinking Americans don't want the oil. The anti-war movement, when they say we want the oil, can't prove that. And when you ask them, well, then if we wanted the oil, why didn't the United States take it in 91? They got no answer. Suddenly, the whole flimsy premise for their anti-war movement comes crashing down. You talk about flimsy. This anti-war movement's a party, man, and it's nothing more than just a party. Anybody got a good answer to that question? Why didn't we get the oil in 91? I got a free Phil Henry Show. What did I say I was going to give him?
A CD.
Of course, maybe we aren't getting any really good answers to that question because nobody wants the Phil Henry CD. However, we press on. You know, this is going to come as a rude shock, but maybe, just maybe, the United States has made an effort to respect international law over the last 10 years. Oh, no, you don't believe that, I see, because we're a bunch of Nazis, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Yeah, and there's so many other better countries than us, man. Saddam Hussein, well, this guy is fantastic. He's just a sweetheart. Maybe the United States respected the U.N. mandate in 91. We didn't go into Baghdad because the U.N. said don't go into Baghdad, so we didn't. Now, if we were thirsty for Iraqi oil, we would have gone and taken it, regardless. But see, today, all of a sudden, what? Now we've changed our mind? Now we really want the Iraqi oil? Is that it? Is it two different administrations, two different agendas? I thought Bush Jr. was avenging his father. Why don't you guys get on the same page and then give me a call? Why don't you guys get organized as to what it is you're saying, then give old Phil a call? It'd be great. Robert, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, Phil, I got a real good answer why we didn't take the oil the first time.
Right, now, this is because you really believe this, or you think this is what they'd say?
No, no, watch. This is the first time we had too many coalition partners, right? So we'd have to split it up between too many countries. This time it's just us and Great Britain, so we can split it up 50-50, right?
Oh, please.
Come on,
is that it, man? Get out of here. Yeah, he made that up on the spot. He thought he was going to get a T-shirt out of that? Too many coalition partners. This way we only have to split it 50-50. See, 1 minute we are, we are a hegemonous, unilateral military machine, and the next minute we got all these partners we have to be happy with. 1 minute we're obeying the UN, and the next minute we're not. 1 minute we're butchers, the next minute, you know. I think every television station in America should prohibit celebrities from being on the air talking about the war. Like, in other words, and now it's the Phil Hendry Show, and we have George Clooney. George, how are you? Great. I'd like to say something about Iraq. Well, no, you won't. No, you're not. Well, wait a minute, Phil. I said to shut your mouth. Now, talk about something you know, the movie. Well, I got a movie coming out, but I really want to... I swear to God, I'm going to haul off, and I'm going to clock you if you open up your mouth one more time about Iraq. Well, you can't do that. I'm George Clooney. Watch. Ow. All right, here is Ward. Hello, Ward.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Good, good.
I think, we didn't take the oil. We don't need to. We are concerned about the well-being of other people, but we're not so worried about ourselves that we got to go rip off everyone else. And if we want to take it this time, we will, but we still don't need to.
Well, okay.
That's what America's about, you know?
Wait, okay, then you agree with me.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
All right, well, see, I'm looking for people that don't. I'm looking for people who are part of the anti-war movement. You know, it's all about oil, you know, right? I know, Spike Lee, I bet you get a straight answer out of him. Boy, you talk about a couple of brain surgeons, Spike Lee and George Clooney on the Iraq War. That'd take about 2 seconds. How do you fill the other 58 minutes and 48, however much it is? Get out the calculator. What's 2 seconds minus 60 minutes? Oh, yeah? Ed Bradley. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Our website is philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Don't forget the official Western Estates Homeowners Association Country Club polo shirt. And, of course, we have our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, our Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt, and the official Phil Hendry Show T-shirt. Our CDs are available. All the money goes to My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. That's philhendryshow.com.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism.
It's tragic.
We're on the air right now, Doctor, by the way.
I was saying that it's tragic what happened to Jessica Santillan. I think doctors are under a lot of pressure today, and I think the reason is because of the proposed changes in health care that's going to rob a lot of income, I think, from doctors.
Well, the pressure is one thing, but I mean, what happened to that child is just beyond belief.
Oh, I agree with you, Phil, but I want to look at something that's happening apart from what happened to that poor child in the healthcare field. Doctors are under a lot of pressure. This doesn't excuse anything, but doctors are under a lot of pressure. I've been an internist for 30-some years, and I've seen increasingly patients coming into the office who are asking questions such as, will you bill my insurance for me? They're asking questions, is the doctor running late today? These things pressure a staff, and the pressure then comes on to me, and then I am in a position to either take care of the patient I'm with or get angry about it.
Well, you're talking about in the office of a doctor, right at the local level?
Yes, primarily. If you go in with respect for a doctor, remember what I do for a living, and remember what it is that I, as a doctor, bring to you. I bring healing to you. I'm not a plumber. I'm not a waitress. I'm not a construction contractor. I'm a doctor. I heal. I can heal you. I can heal your children. And I would think that would earn me some respect and some decent treatment. But as we're seeing, Phil, increasingly, it doesn't.
Well, what are the things you're talking about for doctors? How are doctors being disrespected?
The small things among patients I can start with. For instance, you walk into an examination room and you see a patient touching everything, grabbing the forceps or grabbing Q-tips, weighing themselves on a scale with no nurse there, playing with things. These are the things that add up, and they seem like small things.
Well, they do. They seem like very small things.
But they add up, and they continually make our professional life difficult. I'm worried, Phil, that if it doesn't quit, and we have this pressure on doctors from new healthcare, bothering them with ridiculous requests. We have requests from children, are there free lollipops? That is an expense. And I'd like to see where it's written that I'm supposed to give away free lollipops to kids. This is an expense.
Well, that's not a lot of pressure if a kid asks for a lollipop, is it?
No, it's not. It shouldn't be. But the parents start in. The child starts in. Then the parent starts in. And then these mistakes that doctors make start. And I can tell you, Phil, it is a small step between coming in for the 300th time and seeing someone playing with the scale, playing with the Q-tips, looking in jars, playing with the cotton swabs. It's a small step from there until a doctor can reach a breaking point and accidentally or otherwise there's an air bubble that gets into the system when he's giving a shot.
You're talking about a fatal mistake where an air bubble gets into the system because someone was playing with the stuff in the examination room?
Well, first of all, it's not a fatal mistake. Air bubble in the system is completely survivable. It's painful, but you can survive it easily. It's not, in other words, it's not sure death. All these things add to this healthcare crisis we're in and the pressure for doctors. And if we don't get a handle on it, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. We need a healthcare program, yes, but one that doesn't punish doctors. Because if I have to put up with a healthcare program that punishes me financially, and on top of that, I've got people asking my receptionist, do you validate parking? Will you bill the insurance company? Can I bring a magazine into the waiting room? You know, these things begin to add up until you're ready to snap. And again, it's a small step from there to me putting on a pair of surgical gloves and taking it out on the patient in small ways. For instance, going to the bathroom and not wiping the gloves off. These are the things.
All right, so what you're saying is,
Phil, I'll put it to you this way. Waiters and waitresses spit in the food. This is a doctor's way of spitting in the food.
It is not mature, it is unprofessional, and you're trying to excuse it by saying there's a lot of pressure on doctors.
I don't know if I'm trying to excuse it. I'm trying to say, please understand it.
All right, Dr. Jim Sadler is with us, and we're talking about the doctors under so much pressure from people in their office that maybe they take it out on their patients in one way or another, overcharging, not washing their hands, an air bubble in the syringe, this kind of thing. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. You mentioned something that I thought was completely childish that a colleague of yours did.
That's correct. This was something he was treating a celebrity. Can I mention her name?
Go ahead.
Jennifer Lopez.
All right.
And we ask people oftentimes to bring in stool samples or urine samples many times, even if we don't need one.
Why?
Because that is the way we get our anger out. And it's embarrassing, it's difficult for our patients, but if I'm angry and I don't want to be overt with my anger, I'll ask them to bring in a stool sample or a urine sample because it's inconvenient for them. A gentleman I know took a stool sample from Jennifer Lopez.
His patient.
He then put it up on eBay. Now, this is a childish thing.
Wait a minute. I want to be clear. He took a stool sample from Jennifer Lopez and tried to sell it on eBay.
Yes, sir. I mean, it's childish.
Childish? I mean, he could get sued.
Well, you know, we are in a healthcare crisis. This is the practice. First of all, Phil, before you get on my case, we are in a healthcare crisis. That
well, but this is something that is an invasion of privacy.
But again, if you keep putting pressure on the doctors, then you are going to find that the healthcare crisis is going to deepen. And it is my concern that we begin to take the pressure off of doctors so that they're not forced into doing these things that have completely lowered our ability to do business.
Taking a stool sample from a celebrity and trying to sell it on eBay is criminal and actionable.
Absolutely, but this is the length to which some doctors are going. It is a cry for help. It is not unlike the waitress who spits into the food or the gas jockey who puts sand in the gas tank. We are acting out.
Dr. Jim Sadler talking about the healthcare crisis in America. Some doctors acting out because of the pressure that they're under, doing things like putting an air bubble in a syringe, not you know wiping off their gloves after going to the bathroom, etc. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Judy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I'd just like to make the comment for the physician that is whining on your station. I have been a nurse for 40 years, and physicians are not God anymore. They used to be God. We used to get up and give them our seat when they came into the nurse's station. That's not happening anymore. He needs to get a grip on things. If a gas attendant puts sand into the gas station
uh-huh.
or in the gas tank, that's one thing. This man is supposed to be a professional, and I think he needs to act and speak like a professional.
I am a professional, but I am telling you the crisis of pressure that doctors are under right now, you're seeing a lot of doctors in a very, I think, innocent way trying to relieve the pressure.
Well, I'm sorry, but I work with many physicians, and some of them are good, and some of them are not so good.
Well, I happen to be board certified. Let me say something. I'm not claiming to be God, but I am treated that way. And while it's true that we have a more realistic view of physicians today, I still can do things to help a family feel better, and that is to cure a child that's sick, or a mother or a grandmother that's sick. I still, you know, Judy, you work for a doctor?
No, I work for home care.
All right, well, you're talking pretty big for a nurse. You know what we can do.
I know what you can do, and I know what you can't do. And I know a lot of times you can't do it, and you keep on doing it.
Well, an air bubble in a syringe sounds fatal.
No,
it's not.
It's not fatal. It's just it scares the hell out of them. And
well, what is the point of that? That's against the Hippocratic Oath.
That's correct.
Mr. Hendry, what was done to Michael Jackson's face is against the Hippocratic Oath, too. Do you see anybody complaining? Is anybody taking a doctor to task for that? No. I would submit that selling Jennifer Lopez's stool sample on eBay is a joke and nothing more.
Yeah, but you're talking about such a small percentage. I'm talking about everyday medicine that the normal middle class wants and should have.
Yes.
And I'm saying that you physicians, especially you that have been in practice for 25, 30 years, you still think you're God. You're not God.
You're not in any more
pressure than any nurse that's out there trying to do her job.
I appreciate what our nurses do. I appreciate.
And she is not making one quarter of the amount that you're making. So stop your whining.
Well, wait a second.
It's your practice.
You didn't go to one quarter of the school I went to either.
Be a professional.
When somebody sees me, they'll drop to their knees and do what they have to do to get health care. You, on the other hand, you hold a towel.
Listen to me. I don't hold
a
towel.
Don't. Doctor, there's one thing to professionally
be rude. You don't put down my profession anymore. Doctor,
listen,
if it weren't for the nurses, there wouldn't be any doctors, because we absolutely cover your butt a lot, so don't give me that garbage.
You hold a towel.
I was out
Look, if I could interrupt both of you. Let's not bring down other people's professions.
Well, that's what she's doing to me. She's saying that I'm whining.
I am saying that there are good physicians and there are bad physicians. Physicians have never, ever reported a bad physician. And I've worked with, been in the presence of many that were very bad.
All right.
And I've been in the presence that were very good.
Yes.
And
I'd like to bring up an example, Mr. Andre.
Go ahead.
I saw a woman in my reception area tearing an article out of the National Geographic that I paid for that was a four-year-old National Geographic. Now, what do I do with my anger? What I did was I was going to give her a throat exam. She'd come in with strep throat. I put on surgical gloves, but I went to the bathroom, and I didn't wipe them off. That sounds childish.
Absolutely childish.
But
no,
it
sounds
my,
unprofessional.
It's my
where are you professionally?
Where is
do you
she
think
get
that
a,
I've had,
she
I've had patients pee in my shoes? I've had patients throw up all over me, and I wipe my hands off, and I keep helping them, and I was making... making pennies compared to you.
I won't stand for that.
I am a professional.
A patient throws up on me, and he better run. I don't mean walk. He better run.
Well,
you're dealing with sick people.
Listen, I'm taking care of dying people in their home. I've had many of them bleed all over me, throw up all over me, urinate on me. I've had their stool all
That's
over me. And I go and
for.
Wipe my hands, and I help them again because I'm
yes.
helping them to die comfortably.
That's what a nurse is for. That's not what a doctor's for. A doctor is for...
Well, all right, look, and if a nurse is there to have them bleed, what do you do?
I think that's an insulting question, Mr. Henry. What do I do?
Well, what do you do? This lady tells me what she's doing. She's helping people who are sick. What are you doing as a doctor?
I'm trying with every skill that the good Lord has allowed me to have. I reach down through years of medical experience, and I try to save their lives.
And
that's
how many times do
you
think that I have
and
corrected
what do I get in exchange
your mistakes
for that?
That
she's
ripping
an article out of a National Geographic that's 4 years old that I brought into the office because somebody said, can you bring in a National Geographic? I brought it in, she rips it out. So I go number two and I don't wipe my gloves off.
A big deal compared to a National Geographic? Good Lord, sir. You could run the risk of giving that woman a serious infection beyond strep throat with hands that weren't cleaned after you went to the bathroom. I thank you very much, Judy.
Well,
you're welcome.
Judy knows what I'm talking about. You take a roll of Bounty to someone's fecal matter, it doesn't compare to what I do.
1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're having an interesting conversation here with Dr. James Sadler about the crisis the medical profession. So much pressure on doctors that and people acting rudely to them and people not appreciating what they can do that it is a temptation sometimes for a doctor to take it out of the patient in small ways, not cleaning up properly, not wiping his hands off. In one of the most outstandingly egregious examples I've ever heard, one doctor that he knew took a stool sample from Jennifer Lopez and put it up on eBay. That is a violation of privacy. That is a violation of decency. 1-800-449, this is because they're angry at not getting enough respect. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
All right, I want to get some phone calls in, and we will continue after our break with more phone calls for Dr. Jim Sadler. Question, though. You say the doctors are disrespected to the point now where they are doing what you call the spit-in-the-food syndrome, which waiters and waitresses have done. They're doing little things like going to the bathroom without washing their hands, etc. What do they think about chiropractors, health care practitioners? Because doctors are losing business to those kinds of people.
Well, I would say, Phil, that anyone that goes to a chiropractor might as well go to, in my opinion, a witch doctor, because there is no clinical proof. And that the same goes for these so-called holistic healers with their herbal teas. You might as well go to the deepest jungle in Africa and go to a witch doctor, because it has the same effect.
Right, and you don't feel you're getting respect, though, right?
We are not getting respect because of these witch doctors, and these medicine men and the and all of this.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Sharon, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, doctor.
Yes, ma'am. Hello.
I just want to start off by saying that I have the utmost respect for doctors, and I can absolutely sympathize with your position. However, I think perhaps it may be time for you to give up regular practice and go into another area. I have expensive...
Well, I don't think so. I think more than ever this business needs me to expose what patients do to doctors. And you know something? We're not talking here, Sharon, about I'll do an unnecessary prostate exam.
Not a waiter. You are not a waiter. You're a doctor.
I understand that. I certainly understand.
I understand. Believe me, I've been a pharmaceutical rep. I've been in doctor's offices for many years. I hope my cell phone holds out. I'm on a cell phone right now.
And with all due respect,
side of the road.
Right. With all due respect to what you do for a living, the samples that you
I've also been a volunteer EMT, and I change my gloves. I don't go in with the same pair, so if somebody is out there and your doctor walks in wearing gloves, ask him to change the gloves.
Well, okay, but how do you know he washed his hands?
I make them wash their hands.
Did you, Dr. Sadler, put a woman in stirrups and then go to lunch?
Yes, I did.
And you admit this.
It's no, you know, how is a doctor supposed to take out his justified frustration on patients who are bothering you for parking validation, bothering you? And some of these people want to come in 2-3 times a day. They can't get the prescription. Can I come in? Can I get a prescription over the phone? I said, will you please come in so I can look at you? Oh, no, I don't have the time for that. Now,
you mentioned unnecessary prostate exams.
Yes.
You do those?
Yes.
What? Now, that's inflicting pain on a patient. Is that not a violation of the Hippocratic Oath?
I would not call it pain. The prostate exam
You would not call it pain?
It's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable?
You said you use 3 fingers when you give a guy a prostate exam.
That's correct.
That's
you only
gotta
need
be,
one.
That's got to be painful.
I think it's all in the way you interpret it.
Yeah. All right. Listen, Sharon, thank you for your call. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Doctors who are tired of patients abusing them are taking it out of them perhaps in childish ways, not washing their hands, not washing tongue depressors, leaving women in stirrups. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back to Phil Hendry
the
Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Whitney Houston's deal.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
The public is begging for changes in health care. According to one doctor we're talking to right now, Dr. Jim Sadler, that those changes have to start with the patient's behavior. According to this gentleman, the health care crisis in America is the fault of the patients. And as a result, doctors are frustrated, they're getting angry, and more of them are taking it out on patients. It's called the angry waitress syndrome, where many of us have heard that a waitress or a waiter may spit into the food or put it on the floor. Some doctors, according to my guest, are doing similar things. For instance, giving prostate exams that are not necessary, injecting an air bubble into the system, etc., etc. You also mentioned one doctor you know told a young woman who had come in for an exam that she had AIDS, and then he said, oh, I'm sorry, I've got the wrong chart. Don't you find that to be ghoulish and torturous?
I look, Mr. Hendry, I find...
Isn't it ghoulish, and isn't it a torturous business practice?
No, it is not. It is a doctor trying to relieve the tension and having a couple of laughs. And
at the expense of a... Do you realize how terrifying that would be for a patient to hear they've got AIDS?
And then he said, excuse me, I had the wrong chart. She couldn't have been shocked for more than he carried on for 3-4 seconds, 5 seconds, something like that. And then he said, I got the wrong chart. You have to understand something. Unless we are allowed to express, our frustration, it's only going to get worse. And there is nothing wrong, for instance, a child asks for a lollipop. I've had more kids say, do I have a sucker, do I have a lollipop?
And I said to my nurse, where do they, I don't understand where they get off asking me for something free. So I wrapped up some Ex-Lax in tin foil. I said, here's some chocolate.
You're giving them diarrhea.
Oh, so in other words, that's the bubonic plague. Mr. Henry.
Well, you have a Hippocratic oath not to cause suffering.
The runs isn't suffering. You get a little bit of the squirts and it's done. Kid wants to bother me for a sucker or a piece of candy. I got a piece of candy for you.
And what about this idea that when women are getting pap smears, some doctors you know are giving them with another part of their body besides their hands?
That's his choice. That's a doctor's choice.
That's rape, and you're aware of that, aren't you?
Yes, but I see the frustration.
A pap smear with another part of the body other than the hand. I know exactly what they're talking about.
Well, okay. Good for you, Sherlock. You know, Mr. Henry, I am...
And your smart-ass responses, Doctor, only make me, only make me go on the side of the...
Listen to you. You're not very well-spoken because you don't understand my profession as I understand it. Mr. Henry, remember again, and your listeners should remember this, I am God Almighty when it comes to them because I hold the power of life and death.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Jorge or George.
George.
George, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, first of all, shame on you for having this doctor expressing his view because he's not even a professional.
Like me.
If he feels that way, he should retire already because in what mind do you as a professional think about your patients the way you have...
Why don't they think about me? Why don't they think about me?
No, wait a minute. It's you. You're a professional. You study to take care of people.
Of course. And I do.
That's wrong.
I've saved lives.
What you're doing is a shame, and it's a shameful feeling, Phil, for having you there.
I save lives, and then some guy comes in.
Not anymore. Not anymore. The way you express yourself, that you don't save life anymore. I've been in this business for 40 years.
What business?
In a professional business, in a pharmacy business. And
oh, here we go again with these guys with the pharmacy. And you know how many times you screw up an order, somebody comes back
and they've got one eye
or something happened because you gave them the wrong medicine.
Do a professional good and retire.
The medical profession.
Professional anymore.
The medical
you people, I'm with you 100%, but the frustration, you get it from the company that they pay you $8. You see a patient and you get $8. That's terrible. I'm agreeing. I agree with you on that matter, but not because the patient comes to you and that's all.
You know as well as I do that when somebody wants a painkiller, you're shoving a few Advil in there, aren't you? Come on, you know you are. To save the pharmacy
money. We're talking about you. We're not talking about us. We're talking about you.
I think it runs both ways. And just because you sweep up at Savon doesn't put you in the pharmacy business.
He's in the pharmaceutical business.
Yeah, right. Jorge, I'm a doctor.
You used to be a doctor.
The medical profession is the highest form of life there is.
Yes, you're right.
Respect being
called. Not the way you're doing it right now. The way you're doing it right now.
So you take a stool sample from Jennifer Lopez and you put it up on eBay.
Big deal. Big deal. What is that killing her? And besides, how do you know it's hers? He could say it's hers.
All right, Jorge, or George, I'm sorry, thank you. 1-800-44, he could say it's hers.
Yes. A stool sample, say, look, this is Jennifer Lopez's. How are they supposed to know that it's hers? Why, because there's, like, taco or something in it?
Oh, come on! Grow up! Joe, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
I'm horrified at this person's opinion. I say doctor, but... Sure, and can I talk before you start in? Because I just want to get a few comments.
Go right ahead, but I don't like anybody telling me my business, that's all.
No, no.
Okay.
I would never tell you your business
that's great.
I would never want someone to tell me my business.
Of course.
But my opinion is I would be very scared to go see you. Because if you're having a bad day, I'm going to have a worse day. Do you realize the things you're saying on national radio, admitting to... putting a woman on stirrups and going out to lunch, leaving her in pain for a half hour to 45 minutes. You're talking about giving a little kid Ex-Lax. Yeah, you're right. It's not going to hurt him, but it ain't going to help him either. I mean, the things that you're saying on national radio scare me, and then you're saying you're a doctor next to godliness.
Well,
I don't understand this.
Sir,
we got to raise the bar with our patients. I have put up with their abuse for all of the 31 years I've been a doctor. I've listened to them complain about me not taking their insurance card. I've heard them screaming about not validating parking. Every time I give a guy a prostate exam, you'd swear to God he was in the Spanish Inquisition torture chamber. It's a finger up the rear end. Holy Jesus. And the shots that I give kids, I give the, as you know, children have to have their boosters as well as their full immunization. These kids are screaming and crying. And
wait a minute. I want to ask a question.
Yeah.
That's what kids do when they get a shot. They scream and they cry. Children don't like shots. You have to deal with it.
But, I mean, part of your business, aren't you taught some compassion to deal with these people like this?
Who?
I've been in the, let me tell you something, I'm in the repair business, and I've been in it 15 years, and you know what? I got out of it when I started really wanting to hurt my customers, strangling them, people that don't pay me. Trust me, I'm telling you, you're heading for a malpractice, you're heading for a lawsuit, you're heading for jail, because you're taking it out on your customers when sometimes you're admitting to me it's not even your customers pissing you off, it's someone else in the room that's pissing you off, and the next person in line, guess what? They're getting the bullet.
Well, wait a minute. What are they going to put me in jail for? Because I didn't wash my hands after going number two? They're not going to put me in jail for that.
And I'll tell you what, the American Medical Association, whoever licenses you as a physician, whoever licenses or oversees medical facilities will have something to say about that.
Oh, really? And who's that, Mr. Hendry?
Sir, I don't know.
Exactly. You don't know. You and all these people who call in complaining about me, I'm the only thing standing between you and your kid and the Grim Reaper. So if your child has diphtheria one day or is writhing in pain from malaria, I'm the one that stands at the door and keeps the Grim Reaper out.
I don't know if it's you personally, but it's someone in your profession. But I got to tell you, you need to go back to school and learn more compassion for your clients, or just don't deal. Let me tell you something.
What's wrong with giving a kid X-lax?
He gets the runs. It's against the Hippocratic Oath.
Listen to me. If I rip a page out of your magazine, you know what? I'd rather you come and punch me. You tell me, look, get the hell out of my office. But I certainly wouldn't want you to lead me on into your room so you could torture me. I mean,
what am I doing?
Well, for instance, sticking three fingers up my ass when it only costs for one, that might hurt. And I think
absolutely.
It works because I'm not used to... Okay,
absolutely.
So you're admitting to me. I'm telling you, I'm admitting to you. I'd rather you tell me, get the hell out. That's called stealing. I don't want you taking my magazine. It wasn't there for you to take. And that's it. We can't do business.
I mean, we're talking about
But you're still willing to take my money or my insurance company's money and then torture me on top of it. Do you see the problem with that?
Here's the thing. The National Geographic I had was from 1959. It had a tribe of African women, and okay, they didn't have the tops on.
I understand. It's a memento.
It's a valuable deal.
Absolutely.
What is that doing in the waiting room of a medical office?
My mother told me, if you don't want someone touching your toys, you don't bring them to work with you. You don't bring them with you wherever you go. So I'm sure you could have picked any Geographic magazine. You could have even bought one for $3, a current one. Why would you bring such a valuable magazine like that into your waiting room? You know most of your clients are lowlifes.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because I had a client bellyaching about it.
And on top of that, you give the three-finger prostate exam to a guy who wasn't the one that tore the magazine, right?
That's right.
So some jackass tore the magazine, and the next guy in line gets it?
Hey, let me tell you what. He may not have done it, but he got it.
Yeah, but why? Don't you see a problem with that? You can't even pass judgment on the right person, and you're saying you're next to God? At least God would take it out on the person that did it, not the one that didn't do it.
Did you tell a guy he needed a catheter for a kidney stone?
I've told a lot of men that.
I mean, did you tell a guy he needed a catheter for a kidney stone when he didn't have a kidney stone?
All right, let me be clear here. That guy parked in a space that was clearly marked Dr. Sadler. That was my parking space. It's right next to the, cripple, you know, the handicap one.
So the guy gets cathetered because he parked in your parking space.
What am I supposed to do?
Tell him don't do it, maybe?
Forget that. Okay, Joe, you're fading away, baby.
Joe, thanks for your call. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Dr. Sadler, I can imagine, very, very well imagine, that you'll be called up before the medical board. They'll be asking you questions about all kinds of things, cleanliness, the hygiene of your office, whether or not you are observing the Hippocratic Oath.
Whether or not you're observing the Hippocratic Oath, the hygiene of your office.
you know, you've seen just enough Dr. Kildare and St. Elsewhere to really bore me. Excuse me. I'm telling you that I need to let off some steam. And if I run a catheter up a guy or I give a kid some X-Lax, big wow. You know what I did one time when I took out somebody's appendix?
What?
I left a ping pong ball in there just for kicks.
Well.
Yeah, I don't have anything to say to that, do you?
No, not really.
Thank you.
Get him out of here before I kill him. Dr. James Sadler, internist. Wait a minute. What was that, sir?
I just want to say, now that you got that NBC TV show, possibly, I'll be selling your stool sample on eBay.
You better not. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. Show 1-800-449-8686.
Hello again, buddy. I'm Bud Dickman with our emergency preparedness kit.
Let me see that.
I can read it good.
No, you're not. Emergency preparedness kit. This is Bud Dickman with an emergency preparedness kit. That's what you wanted to say, right?
Right.
Then why are we playing the Olympic theme?
Well, it sounds
newsy, huh?
Yeah.
Go ahead, bud.
All right, here's the stuff you need on an emergency preparedness kit as outlined by Department of Homeland Security. Homeland Security. You need some things that you should have in your emergency supply kit. A 3-day supply of non-perishable food and water, including a gallon of water a day for each person.
Okay.
Items to protect against contamination, like densely woven cotton cloth, hardware store face masks, and duct tape and plastic sheeting to seal off a room.
Alrighty.
You also need sneakers. You need a flashlight. You need warm items of clothing and special needs like diapers.
All right. Now, all that made sense except the one thing, sneakers.
What?
Why do I need sneakers is the only question.
To run away.
Run away from what?
Well, what are you, a retard?
What do you mean, am I a retard? What do I need sneakers for?
To run away when the radiation come.
Well, then why do I really need the rest of this stuff? Run away?
You need sneakers to get out of there.
So I got an emergency preparedness kit, and I leave it there, and I run.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, will you shut it off?
Here's something else. Develop a family emergency plan. It may be easier to make a long-distance call than call across town, so an out-of-state contact may be in a better position. Also, make sure you have a car. And then...
Wait a minute. Why do I need a car?
What, are you going to be a retard and hang around?
I suppose I need a hotel reservation, too.
Yeah, you should.
Oh, yeah? Where?
Probably in Orlando.
And why would that be?
To get away from the cloud of radioactivity.
And what if the bomb fell in Orlando?
Then you should get a hotel... I don't know.
What an ass. Get out of here. You need sneakers, a car, and a hotel reservation if you get the, radiation.
If you get the, radiation.
Wait a minute, you making fun of me? Jeez. That's your Homeland Security update with the Olympic theme. What do you need? Well, you need water, and you need batteries, sneakers, a car, and a hotel reservation. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. And on that website, you can pick up our Best Of CD. We have a great CD this year, our Best Of the Phil Henry Show, world famous CD. It's what it's called, the Best of the Year 2002. Two CDs for the price of one. Two. This should be the best-selling CD ever because you get two for the price of one. Go online, philhenryshow.com, or call this number, 877-616-7445. 877-616-7445 for more information and to order online or on the phone. The Phil Henry Show Best of the Year 2002 CD, world famous.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Making pot brownies.
But you realize, sir, that any accusation of sexual impropriety with a child is very, very serious.
I recognize that, sir. But I would like to tell you that I am, I think that I've been victimized. I want to tell you where I am right now, Mr. Henry. I'm sitting in a, it's a cocktail lounge in the city of Corona, and I do not drink. But since the events of this past weekend, it is difficult for me not to think about taking a drink, only to try and just calm my nerves over what's been going on.
Okay, I'm not going to indict you, and I'm not going to say you're guilty of anything, but you went up to Lake Arrowhead this weekend with some brownies, your daughter's brownie troop, and another brownie troop, right?
Yes, sir. And I was not the only one. I was with my wife.
No, I understand that. You and your wife and another couple were chaperoning a brownie troop.
Yes, sir, to Alpine Village up Lake Arrowhead.
Okay, now, you go up there. Were you going to spend the night?
We spend the night with the kids over Saturday night, yeah.
All right. What happened? What happened and what led up to this? You were building a snowman with the kids, right?
We built a snowman. What happened was we were having lunch with the children. And I saw Roy Hutchins, who is also a neighbor of mine, and he also was chaperoning. And he was clowning with the kids, and they were laughing. And my daughter was part of the group of kids down at the other end of the table who were laughing at what Mr. Hutchins was doing. He was just acting a clown, etc. So after lunch, myself and about 10 of the kids went out, and we started to build a snowman. And you have to understand something, Mr. Henry. A man wants to have the approval of his children. And there's no sweeter sound to a man's ears than the laughter of his children. So we built a snowman, and we had some pine cones and everything else. Now,
let's get to the point with the carrot, okay?
Yes, sir. I was feeling good. I meant nothing by it. We had a large carrot that we kept over from feeding the horses. And that's when I put the carrot into the snowman. And
what did you say?
I said, look what Frosty's got. I said, look what Frosty the snowman's got.
Now, you put this carrot into the snowman to represent his some kind of manhood, correct?
Yes, sir. I meant no offense by it. And I think what happens is everybody wants to make a big deal out of nothing. Now, I understand, in retrospect, it probably wasn't that great of an idea. But I didn't mean to hurt anybody. And
well, one of the kids started to... So one of the kids ran away, right?
Yeah, this is the Finch girl, Cassidy Finch.
Okay, she ran away to tell the Mr. Hutchins, And her complaint to Mr. Hutchins was that you were showing your thing to the girls.
Well, sir, that is absolutely wrong.
No, I understand that, but when you put the carrot into the snowman, that's what she thought. She's a little kid. She's 9 years old.
I know that. But this never would have started if it hadn't been for Roy Hutchins clowning around and all the girls were laughing at him and nobody was laughing at me. So I wanted to show that I could be funny, too. And I thought it was very funny. My daughter didn't laugh, but she didn't, you know, flip out or anything.
Your daughter was one of the 10 girls that was helping build the snowman.
Yes, sir.
All right, so you put the snowman together, you put the eyes in, the mouth in, the hat on, and then you put a carrot down below to look like he's got one.
Yes, sir. And I didn't think it was any big thing. Then the kid ran away. Next thing I know, Mr. Hutchins is, you know, Roy Hutchins, who's a friend of mine, is talking to me about this. So I wrote down the comment that I made, which I told you about.
Right, that was, look what Mr. Frosty's got.
Yes, sir.
All right, then what happened?
Well, as I said, one of the girls cried and ran away. And I may have used bad judgment, but it's only inappropriate, you know. If there's a negative connotation to it, and obviously that girl was raised in a home where there may be things going on, I don't know.
Well, I don't think it's... Well, wait a minute. You're going to say because the girl ran away when she saw you put the carrot into the snowman, an inappropriate place in the snowman. You think it's she's living in a home where there's things going on?
Well, why would she run away? That's completely ridiculous.
Well, maybe she was told if any man or adult gets inappropriate with you, you should run away from him.
I did not get inappropriate. All I said was, here's a carrot, Frosty's got a thing, now, isn't that funny? And all I wanted was for the kids to laugh, and nobody laughed. Now, one of the bad things that comes from this, Mr. Henry, is a preemptive lawsuit, which I'm filing.
And all right, I want to hear about the preemptive lawsuit. I want to give our phone number out, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Well, you've got a troop full of parents that are upset with you. Because in making this snowman, you put a carrot in him to look like he had a sex organs. And that, in and of itself, made one of the kids run away. And you've been accused, I guess, of being inappropriate with the kids. Now, I realize that perhaps you have your explanation, but nonetheless, you know, you want the kids to laugh and make them laugh.
I gave Frosty the snowman a thing, which I realized might have been wrong. Now, these are the Kolachucks. Who think they're going to sue me. I would like to get a preemptive lawsuit going in case the Kolachucks sue me.
Have you been sued or have you been presented with papers or have you been arrested or anything?
No, I have not, sir. However, I am going to sue the Alpine Snow Camp and the Kolachucks to keep them from entering into court, into the court record that they want to sue me. So what I'm doing is basically preempting any lawsuit against me. I don't want anybody thinking that I'm some kind of a pervert. So I will sue them. I will sue the Alpine Village Snow Camp, which is where the children were. If I have to name the child, and I don't want to name the child in the lawsuit, Cassidy Finch, I will, because it all started with her. The other little girls wouldn't have anything of it if she hadn't run away and told the Hutchins.
So you're blaming this child. Is her name Finch?
Her name is Cassidy Kolachuk. I'm sorry.
All right, in retrospect, let me ask you, Mr. Bozell, would you have done this again? Would you have put the carrot in the snowman like that? You know, you got 10 little girls, you got a couple of brownie troops, you're responsible for them. And don't you think there's a little bit of an impropriety there, sexualizing a snowman?
Sir, I could have explained it better to the kids, but the fact remains that the male body is a beautiful thing. And I think this is really at the heart of it. I think we are being accused of the male body is a beautiful thing.
And the male body is a beautiful thing. The female body is a beautiful thing. These kids are 9. Can they wait?
Well, I would say that they're trying to make the male body something ugly, and I won't have that. And the carrot that I used was very large, etc. And I could have used better judgment on whether it was too big or not. I don't know. And I saw the carrot, and I pulled it out of the bag, and it was large, and I used it.
What, in order to be flattering to the male body?
Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This gentleman was chaperoning, along with his wife, a troop of brownies. They were building a snowman up at Alpine Village, and he put a carrot in the snowman to represent the male sex organ, and then he said, look what Frosty's got. One of the kids ran away. You haven't been sued, but you are suing to preempt any legal action against you.
Yeah, nobody's going to touch me on this one because I might have made a mistake, but nobody's going to call me a child molester. So my attorney told me to take preemptive action. Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Joe, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Okay, hi.
Hi, ma'am.
You know what? If you're in a group of small children, you do not put sexual organs on a snowman. It's just not correct.
It was a carrot.
It's
it
wrong.
Didn't have nothing else.
It's inappropriate, and you shouldn't do it. It's just not right. And just assuming, because this little girl ran away from it, just assuming that she is brought up in a home where there's problems is ignorant. Maybe, just like the guy said, maybe she was taught if somebody does something inappropriate, you walk away or you run away. It's not right. You know what? You're a sick puppy.
That's my point.
You are just a sick puppy.
Wait a minute. What? The male body is beautiful.
Body is beautiful, but it's not slaughtered in front of children.
Okay, all it was a snowman with a carrot in his thing.
But
what's
you
that
were insinuating. No. Why? Why? What would make you do that in front of children?
Well, because we had the carrot. We were using items from the kitchen. I had the carrot.
Carrots go in the snowman's nose, not by his...
Well, ma'am...
I can't say it. I'm on the air.
You know
what I'm saying.
I'm sitting in a bar right now, and I have been sober for 10 years. And
you
that's how much this
that
has upset me.
That hasn't got anything to do with it whatsoever.
That's how much that kid upset
even
me.
Brought up.
Well, are you accusing this?
Don't do that in front of children.
Ma'am, I don't know if you're married, but a man's thing doesn't look like a carrot. And so how she could make that.
But you were, as the lady said, you were insinuating it by putting it there. All right? And you're sitting in a bar, you haven't taken a drink in 10 years?
That's right. I feel as if I have been wronged. I've been abused. I got a kid now. This kid, of all the people in the world who would make me take a drink, this kid's going to make me take a drink because she run away because the carrot looks like a thing.
All right, Stephen, hold the line. Stephen Bozell is a construction contractor from Corona, California, who is chaperoning a troop of brownies. They were building a snowman, and he stuck a carrot in the snowman to symbolize male sex organs. Some of the kids ran away. Apparently, the parents got upset. He is now going to sue. He is filing what he calls a preemptive lawsuit because he says, quote, he didn't mean anything by it. And this little girl who ran away is going to cause him to take a drink after 10 years of sobriety. It's a mess. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty. Here's Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
You know what? It was inappropriate what you did, sir. And you know what? You're making it sound like a very light matter.
Well, it was
inappropriate. You should say you're sorry. You should do some public service. You should get some help for yourself with your alcoholism problem.
Ma'am, I've been sober for 10 years.
Well, I don't think you should sue this family to protect yourself. I think you should just publicly apologize and realize that what you did, you're not even claiming that it was inappropriate. It was inappropriate.
Well, my attorney says... My attorney told me it's not inappropriate if the carrot was put there just for fun.
You're dealing with children. What kinds of things do you do with your children? I mean, that's inappropriate. I'm sorry.
What
Goodbye.
What kind of home does this girl grow up in? Every time someone pulls a carrot out, she runs away. Now, I find that...
It wasn't the carrot, per se. It was the carrot on the snowman in the inappropriate place.
But it was for fun, and it was not... See, in other words, no snowman's going to be able to do it.
Well, it doesn't matter whether a snowman's going to be able to do it or not.
Well, Mr. Henry, I hope you're having a good time.
It doesn't matter whether a snowman is capable of consummating a sex act, sir. It has to do with the image of that. Children are children. Let them be children. Let Frosty the Snowman be a eunuch, okay? What do you got to put a penis on him for?
Sir... It was an artistic statement that had nothing to do with to want to molest.
1-800-449-8686. Donna, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Oh, hi, Steve.
Yes, ma'am.
Steve?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I'm a co-leader in a Girl Scout troop, and, you know, we have units that we do on things like stranger danger, and so that reaction of that little girl, especially if you were there as a chaperone, you know how protective Girl Scout troops are and how serious they take the safety of their children.
Well, I understand
that,
ma'am.
Was a big,
but these
that
were brownies.
Was a big thing. Well, brownies, Girl Scouts. I mean, you know what we're talking about
brownies
here.
Brownies are not the same as a Girl Scout. They're, as I understand, they haven't made, they're still just brownies.
Okay.
Right, they're
but
brownies.
We're talking about the same organization, and we're talking about the level of protection
well, that's
that
true.
Everybody
that's true.
Is committed to.
Can I bring up
children.
A point, Mr. Hendry?
Go ahead.
If Roy Hutchins had not tried to be Mr. Funny Man with the tomato that he used for a nose, I wouldn't have even thought about the carrot. So in a lot of ways, he's got some culpability here.
How's he culpable? Why, because he was entertaining the kids at lunch?
But that made me want to be entertaining, too.
Okay. You know
See?
What, Steve? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Hendry.
No, no, go on, Donna. We're...
Okay. I just think that there's two issues at stake here, and I was really happy a little while ago because I heard you say you're really sorry about what happened. But, you know, we
well,
live
I am.
In a...
But she's
yeah.
gonna, they're probably going to want to sue me, so I'm going to sue them first.
Right.
In
That's
order to
the
protect
other
myself.
Issue. There's two things, Steve. Don't you think that we live in a litigious society? You're going on the offense to protect yourself. But there's also a core issue here. It's an ethical issue, and you're trying to defend an indefensible position.
Can
right
I ask
now.
You a question, ma'am? May I ask you a question? If she ran away
okay.
from the, why didn't she run away from the tomato on Roy's face, which could have meant something, too?
But, you know, you're trying...
Wait a minute.
You need to do a little more thinking
see,
about the whole thing.
You don't know.
And take your ownership on it. It doesn't matter what anyone else did. Just focus on yourself.
See, that's one of them words.
On your
that's what the ladies
that
take
you
ownership.
Have to look at.
And I hate those words, take ownership, because that sounds like I'm on the Oprah Winfrey show.
Well,
yeah, take ownership, man. The tomato on Roy Hutchins' face could have meant what?
I don't want to say. It could have. Roy had his nose in a naughty area.
Oh, get out of here. It was a big
you
red
know,
nose.
Steve, you're at a crossroads in your life. You can either take responsibility for what's happened.
Wait a minute. Are you a Girl Scout leader?
I'm a co-leader.
Okay, well, you're coming off like you're Dr. Laura Kissinger or something.
Well, thank you. I just really think that we have to talk person to person here, and you have a choice in your life. You're at a crossroads. You can either go one way or the other, and it'll make a big difference in the
mm-hmm.
rest of your life.
Right.
So,
or what?
Good luck to you with what you decide.
Thank you very much.
Hello?
I'm right here. I'm just...
...1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with Stephen Bozell. This is a man who was building a snowman with some brownies, some Girl Scout brownies, and he put a carrot in an inappropriate area. And, you know...
had to drain the main vein.
Yeah, I got that. And we'll be right back. 1-800-449... All right, the coyote. What happened? The kids ran away?
Well, a little girl ran away.
We're talking with Steve Bozell. He is a father of a little girl in the brownies. He was chaperoning along with his wife of a brownie troop, as was another couple. They built a snowman, and he put a carrot in a place that signifies the private area in front of some 9-year-old kids. And,
well, I wish you would stop saying in front of 9-year-old kids because...
Well, that's exactly what you did.
But you're intimating it's inappropriate, Mr. Hendry. And I got down on my hands and knees and I began eating the carrot to show the kids that all it was a carrot. Okay?
Yeah, but the you may have showed the kids that all it was a carrot. And that's fine. Why did you get down on your hands and knees, sir?
I'm sorry?
Why did you get down on your hands and knees and start eating the carrot? Did you take it out and start eating it?
Sir, it was a frozen carrot, and it was frozen in the body of the snowman.
So to show the kids that all it was as if they didn't already know it was a carrot.
Well, the kid ran away, and I did not want any intimation of inappropriateness.
So you got down on your hands and knees and ate the carrot that way. Were you using your hands? Did you grab the carrot?
Oh, would that have made it better looking for you? Have you seen any of the adult films that are out currently? Many of the...
Wait a second. I don't understand what you're saying. Did you take the carrot out of the snowman and eat it like that?
No, sir. It was frozen in.
So you were down on your hands and knees eating the carrot like that.
Mr. Henry, my attorney, Dolores Plazengame of Riverside, California, assures me that my behavior, while regrettable, does not position me to be sued, and I did not do anything intentionally to hurt no kid.
Well, first you're telling me you put a carrot there, the kid runs away, and then to show the kids it's just a carrot, you get on your hands and knees and eat it like that.
I don't understand.
Oh, come on. And you're sitting in a bar right now. Have you had a drink?
No, sir, I have not. But I'll tell you, that kid, that Cassidy Kalachuk, will make me get a drink.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Shauna on the Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, Shauna.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment. You know, he's in his, mid to late 30s?
Yes, ma'am. I'm 36 years old.
Okay. I think you're old enough to know what is appropriate and inappropriate for between 8 and 9-year-old girls.
Well, ma'am, if I made a mistake, I made a mistake. But I did it innocently, and I don't want nobody calling me, a pervert.
Did you wrap your arms around the waist of the snowman as you were eating this carrot?
No, I did not, sir.
Well, witnesses say you had your arms on the waist of the snowman.
I might have done that, yes, to steady myself. Yes, sir.
Well, can I say something else?
Go ahead.
If you get sued or something, you know, there's a high price to pay for being an idiot. I'm sorry.
Okay, now you're calling me names.
And
how come I'm an idiot?
Child Protective Services really need to keep an eye on you and keep you away from any other Girl Scout meetings or whatever.
Wait a minute. What did I do wrong? See, now you're opening yourself up for a lawsuit.
Oh, let me tell you, as a former 8-9-year-old girl, that would freak me out.
What?
And yes, I would tell my parents, because, no one ever did that to me, and I'm 26 years old.
Wait a minute, which part? That I used a carrot?
That you would even think it, do it, in front of girls? You had to think it out before you did it. And that scares me.
Look at pal, not only did you use the carrot, you got on your hands and knees to eat it with your hands on the waist of the snowman.
Well, I don't understand what your filthy mind is conjuring up, Mr. Henry, right now, but I can assure you...
My filthy mind. All right, Shauna, thank you. Here is Danielle on the Phil Henry Show. Danielle?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm 17 years old, and with all due respect, sir, if you would have done that in front of me, it would have scared me. And I know that I have nieces and nephews that are 9 years old. And
but you're all grown up.
I'm not
17.
All grown up, but...
She's 17. Okay. She's still technically a minor. Forgive me, Danielle,
exactly.
But you are.
No, I agree with you. And I'm sorry, sir, but I think that is...
17.
I think that's,
17, you say she's a minor. I mean...
I don't even think that's an issue here. The point is that I think that you're very inappropriate, and I think you're very sick, and I know that... I'm taught even now, if somebody makes me so uncomfortable, that I run away from it.
Well, what did I do that made... I'd like to know specifically what I did.
Okay, first of all, can I say something?
Yes, ma'am.
You're acting like a 9-year-old yourself. You're not taking responsibility for what you did. My friends, they're 17, 18. We do stuff like that, and it's funny and everything like that, but we would never do it in front of kids because...
Well, what did I do that was so wrong?
You... So what did you do? You stuck a carrot in a snowman in an inappropriate place, and then you start eating it there? What is not wrong about that? Tell me that.
Because it was frozen there, and I wanted to show the kids.
Oh, so because the carrot was frozen, that makes it okay.
What are you?
If you would have stuck a strawberry there, it doesn't make a difference.
Ma'am, let me ask you: are you afraid of carrots?
I'm not afraid of carrots, but I'm afraid of perverts like you.
Oh, now I'm a pervert.
Look,
yes, you are.
Bozell, we've already got the story on your hands and knees eating the carrot, putting your hands on the waist of the snowman. What are you, a mental case?
Well, I. Mr. Henry, unless you want my attorney, Dolores Plazengame...
Yeah, I know. Of Riverside, California, is very creative, and she's going to sue everybody.
I tried to warm up the carrot by rubbing it with my hands.
And can I say something?
Yes, ma'am.
Why don't you take responsibility for your own actions and not put it on your attorney? Your attorney has to stick up for you. That's her job.
That's right. I mean, that's what you're paying her for.
It's not... She has to do that. She has to say that. she doesn't necessarily agree with the fact that what you did, if she did, she'd have to be sick in the head.
Have you ever eaten a carrot without your hands? That's just yes or no. Have you ever eaten a carrot without your hands? Yes or no?
With a fork, so I guess that's
okay.
With my hands.
All right. What, a raw carrot? That sounds kind of nuts.
No, a cooked carrot, man. They cook carrots.
Well.
Okay, listen, Danielle, thank you.
I don't know what the two of you are laughing at. The fact of the matter is, all right, I'll take responsibility for this much. I shouldn't have done it. It was bad.
So then why are you fighting it? Why? It
because
was bad and it was wrong, and if
people,
you admit that.
People won't take my apology. They want to sue me anyway. And on top of that, they want me to admit that eating a carrot was bad. Now, that I won't admit to.
Eating a carrot is not bad, but in the way that you did it was bad.
What did I do?
Oh, my gosh, you frustrate me so bad. You act like a 9-year-old kid.
What did I do?
You ate a carrot in an inappropriate place in front of 9-year-old kids. What more do you need to know what you did? Would you do that? Why would you do that in front of your own daughter?
Well, I didn't do it in front of the kids. I just did, well...
You did
you
do it in front of the kids.
You screwed up, you idiot, and you're going to get sued for it.
And the fact that that other guy put a tomato on his nose, that's appropriate for little kids. That's like being a clown. What you did was out of line.
It
out
could
of
have
question.
Been that he was sticking his nose up into a...
Like not little 9-year-old little kids are going to think about that.
Yes, exactly. Did any kids run away from him?
If I was a little girl, I would have run away.
Oh, my
I'm
God.
I'm sorry?
If I was
well, you're acting like a little girl.
Oh, well, I'm not afraid of no carrot, so I guess that don't make me no girl.
Okay, you said
right, look at pal. Don't worry about it, Danielle. You're
okay,
going to the
you.
Nut house, and thanks a lot, Mr. Bozell, because I think that when the guys in the white jacket come for you, that'll be the least of your problems. Maybe I don't know if they put you in a soft room. Can you get sued there? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And that was me doing the voice of Steve Bozell on that preceding bit. A flashback from Friday, or Thursday, last Thursday on the Phil Henry Show. We had David G. Hall on, the vice president of syndication for our show. He was on to talk about what our show should do if war breaks out with Iraq. He doesn't want any opinions from listeners who don't have a clue about war. And Lloyd Bonafide, another one of our callers, called in about this dictatorial attitude of Mr. Hall.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
What? I'm not pro-war or against war right now. I'd like to learn the facts. And the way that we do that is discussing
well,
it and having people...
Jim, hold on. Lloyd, I got to hang up on you.
Well, sir.
All right, go ahead, Jim, because I got too many people on the line. Go ahead.
Well, and this is a way that we become informed. If I wanted to talk,
hey, look,
if I was interested,
I don't
in
have
one...
to inform you. I can put country music on this station if I wanted to. What are you going to say then? You should go down to the newsstand, pick out some newspapers and books, and read up on the situation.
But that doesn't answer the question.
Wait a second.
What?
Get off the phone.
Well, what is talk radio for?
Well,
women's rights? Is that what we're here to discuss?
Talk radio is a form of entertainment. It's to entertain the people listening. If they're entertained listening to you and me, then we got listeners.
And, well, what about me? And how?
How is it this guy keeps getting on the air? Will you throw him off the air, please?
Why don't you go to a town hall discussion or something? Go to a PTO meeting. I understand auctions are very informative. Anything, just not my radio station.
Well, you can go to hell as far as I'm concerned.
Go ahead, Jim.
Sir, What I don't understand
I've
is the most...
I've got a bullet lodged in my right buttock.
Will you please get that guy off the air?
Go ahead, Jim. I'm here.
This is the most important topic right now.
What, the bullet in his ass?
No.
The Iraq war.
I have two small children, okay?
Are they in the war? Are they in the army? Or were they...
No, can I finish my statement, please?
Go ahead.
And the outcome, you know, things are different now than they were before September 11th, okay? And the outcome of this war could change my kid's future. And I think that that's something worth talking about.
Maybe for the better.
Maybe for the better, yeah. Maybe for the worse.
You're right.
We don't know.
Hopefully it's for the better. God willing, it's for the better. But the point is,
why would you know? How hard is it for a gay man to raise those two kids? Because a lot of the...
Wait a minute.
What?
He didn't say he was gay.
Well, I'm sorry. I thought I heard him say that.
I'm not gay. Married with two children. But thank you, sir.
Married to a lady.
And married to a lady.
Okay.
So what do you...
That has nothing to do...
Can we get
What? What do you want? I told you...
This is the most important...
All right, Jim.
Can I talk?
You... Ask...
Bill Hendry Show.
How many gold?
What was that? Lloyd wouldn't hang up. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Well, everybody's treating this Iraq thing like it's... You see, what the problem is this. Everybody thinks it's still September 10. Everybody thinks we can just sort of blot it all out. It's like a kid that doesn't want to get a shot hanging onto your leg. Come on, I got to go in and get the shot. No. They can put off the inevitable. You can't put off the inevitable. You can't put it off. You got to take the medicine. It's tough taking the medicine, but we got to do it. If you show any weakness in the face of this enemy, which is very happy and very content to blow up two buildings with jets, crash into the Pentagon, look into radiological weapons. I mean, there's Osama bin Laden. He's looking into the possibility of getting radiological weapons. He's looking into the possibility of bacteriological. If you show any weakness at all in the face of a scumbag like that, he's got you. Now he knows how to manipulate you. And he said as much, if that tape is true, if that tape that was recently released is honestly him, he said as much. He said, look at the Americans. Look at how scared they are. Look at how frightened they are. And I'm not saying that, you know, that we shouldn't play into that, but I am saying that that's the exact reaction they look for so that they can continue their bullying ways. And I'm sorry, anybody that believes that we're supposed to sit still for this because somehow we're to blame thinks like a child. See, a lot of these people think that if they get out and they say, no war, no war, they somehow become friends with the common people of the Middle East, and we'll all join together and sing We Are the World. We'll all hold hands, and it'll be one big, beautiful sing-a-thon. Sorry. Let me tell you what I learned from my dear old dad, which I actually didn't learn this from my dad, but it sounds good. If you stick your hand in the water and try to pet a shark, what do you think's going to happen? He's going to take your hand off. And these people think they can stick their hand in the water and pet a shark. What you do is you get out of the water. Now, that's been my suggestion all along. Let's get out of there. But barring that, you're going to have to kill a shark. Because we don't have a choice right now. If you try to pet a lion or a tiger or a piranha or a moray eel, you'll get your hand taken off. These people are over there, We Are the World human shields. They're tying themselves to street signs. I got to tell you something. There was a time in my life when I admired the courage of pacifists. Mahatma Gandhi, Bertrand Russell, Martin Luther King, Leo Tolstoy. These are very highly principled people. They believe that you can change the mind of the attacker through a pacifist approach. Now, it may have worked with the British. I doubt very much if it would have worked with the Nazis. Try that pacifism to the Nazis. See what happens to you then. See if you got any fingernails left then. You know, the British in India compared to the Nazis in Germany, that's like Little Miss Muffin or little whatever the hell her name was compared to the Big Bad Wolf. The British, they're a walk in the park compared to the Nazis. And the United States of America, this big, bad, evil country, is a complete walk in the park compared to a guy like Hussein. If you think for a minute, just because we're big, because we're successful, because we eat well, because we party hardy, because we've got money and we've got weapons and we've got a big, beautiful country with a lot of nice people in it. If you think that that somehow makes us bad, go on over there and tie yourself to a street sign in Baghdad. Seriously, go do it. And while you're on the subject, sit down and have a little coffee with Saddam. See what you think about him. I'll bet you just love that cat. I guess all those people that have been coming forward over the last few days, people who were political prisoners under Saddam Hussein, people who suffered torture at the hands of his torturers, electrocution, breaking of bones, amputation of limbs and fingers, I guess those people are just kidding, right? They're just joking around. That's just a shtick. And the real, real bad guy is America. You know what we made the mistake of doing? We made the mistake of joining the United Nations and adhering to United Nations resolutions. We made the mistake of passing a resolution and adhering to it. We made the mistake of asking the UN to stick to its resolutions. We have made the mistake of thinking the rest of the countries of the world are as courageous as we are. Apparently they're not, with the exception of a few. Apparently they are so scared of this guy that they're willing to give him second, third, fourth, fifth, 19, 20, 86 chances. Are you that scared? Hey, Clooney, are you that frightened? He needs his mama. Sloppy with your drink. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Just trying to piss people off. Just trying to call them out. Just, you know. Oh, forget it.
The Phil Henry Show.
And Nicole Smith isn't afraid. She told me.
8686. He's still Jenny on the block.